were submitted. We, from the department side, I think there are four different reports. If we were to take all of them here, there would be a problem. Ingonyama Trust may not get all the time. So can we start with that?
But I also know what implies that Ingonyama can take the floor. The young man is doing that. Can you not give us the apologies, please?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, department officials. The apology that I have is from Ms. Helen Ngwenyama, Helen Matanyan, and the Mem Digital. Thank you. For Mr. Ndapane, thank you.
Morning, Chair. Morning, honourable members. Morning, TG and the colleagues. Chair, from Ingonyama Trust, I'll have my colleague, Ms. Spencer, to do a presentation on the fourth quarter and the Gilders report.
Chair, members of committee, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to present on the Ingonyama Trust Board's fourth quarter performance and our closeout report for the year 2011-2012. Just to give you a bit of information on how the presentation will unfold, we will have a little bit of a background. Though I'm quite convinced the committee is well aware of the Ingonyama Trust Board and its members. The fourth quarter performance report, which I believe is going to be the meat on the bones that the committee is interested in, and then obviously the context within which it the fourth quarter portrays itself within the closeout closeout report, and then the financial report, which my CEO has agreed that he will deal with the money side. As committee is aware, the Ingwenyama Trust Board owns just on 30% of the land in KwaZulu-Natal. It holds it in trust for the communities and the traditional communities resident thereon. The board's portfolio stands at in excess of 2.7 million hectares of land, and we have an upward amount of 1,491 title deeds that we hold in terms of that landholding portfolio. The landholding covers almost all aspects of the municipal area, and the estimated population is about 4.5 million persons residing on the land. The traditional councils, we have approximately 249 traditional councils whose land we hold in trust. There are obviously more traditional councils, but some of them are what we refer to as landless, or they don't have land in our portfolio. The Ingwenyama Trust Board had a number of targets within which it wished to achieve, and in the fourth quarter, we have the targets being the cooperation agreement. A cooperation agreement is an agreement that is entered into between a local municipality, a traditional council, and the Ingwenyama Trust Board in order to formalize a working relationship to achieve certain outputs, and those outputs would be the good orderly planning and just the manner in which the land holdings can be incorporated into all the spheres and party and mandates of the party. It was the board's aim to conduct three agreements overall in the annual and for its annual performance. During the fourth quarter, it achieved one, that is the Ezingoleni Municipality and the Ingwenyama Trust Board. The Ingwenyama Trust Board receives a number of applications for use on its land. Those applications go through quite a rigorous screening process, a survey process, and the ultimate achievement is that the applications are presented to the board for consideration and approval. During the fourth quarter, our target was 175 applications to be approved by the board, and in the fourth quarter we received 213, which was we exceeded our target. The next item is the number of exclusive land parcels that are tailor-made management plans and development. In this regard, it is the number of land parcels that are transferred into the ownership of the Ingwenyama Trust Board by virtue of the vesting legislation, and those parcels of land are interrogated to determine whether or not there's a suitable use for those properties once they are in our ownership. It involves site inspections, report backs, and possibly at the next level interacting with the municipality and the traditional council regarding the future use of that land. The idea was to have two, and in this respect we did two. The next target was the consolidation of title deeds and a reconciled register. The fourth quarter target was the appointment of a service provider. During this quarter, the process of consolidating titles according to traditional council areas was revisited. One had to look severely at the cost benefit of undertaking such an exercise. As committee is aware, the land is already in the ownership of the Ingwenyama Trust Board under 1,491 titles. The idea was to convert those to 300 titles. But the cost of that, especially in light of prevailing legislation in KwaZulu, being the Provincial Development Planning Act, it was considered that this cost did not merit the benefit of having 300 titles as opposed to 1,491 titles. The number of land tenure records entered into the system. The purpose of this particular item is that in order to control and manage 2.7 million hectares of land, It is essential that we at some point record any rights or any agreements or any encumbrances that we have over the land. And our target for the year was, for the quarter, was 175 recordals of uses or parcels of land that are used on our land. And we received we processed 204 during the fourth quarter. As part of our strategy to advise, educate, and communicate the Ingwenyama Trust Board and its mandate to the residents of KwaZulu and also to the residents upon ITB land, we conducted roadshows and workshops. And in this respect, we had anticipated two workshops. However, the actual undertaking was five roadshows workshops. The last paragraph in the performance measure is the percentage of applications received from communities to be approved by the board and paid out. In order to unpack this process a little bit further, what would happen is money would be held for a particular community based on the income generated from the use of their land, and the community would then apply through a program to release that land for particular programs within their and uses within their portfolio. What we have there is a target of 80% of all applications received are processed and considered and approved by the board. In this respect, we actually achieved a target of 85%.
Excuse me, Chair, just a point of clarity. You said applications were received for the release or payment of the land or money.
The money. The money received from the use of the land. Income to be generated, that's non-mining, that is any income that's generated through the use of the land, excluding mining royalties or funds received from mining ventures on our land. And in that particular process, if the figures were 1,570, I think that's 1.5 million, and we received a total of 1.7 million. During the fourth quarter. Mining royalty and income to be generated. We projected we would receive approximately 4.3 million from the mining operations undertaken on our land, and there's a slight decrease in that, down to 3.5 million that was received during the fourth quarter, and this is a result of the changes in legislation and the royalties now being paid to the state as opposed to the Ingwenyama Trust Board. Grant transfer payments, these are payments and funds received from the department. We'd anticipated 3.2 million and we've received 2.9 million. And then the cost of the new buildings. Committee is reminded that the Ingwenyama Trust Board has relocated offices and is in the process of building an administration block in order to effectively and efficiently provide operations within the context of the mandate that we have. And to this effect, we projected our expenditure would be in the region of 6 million for the new offices, and we've only spent 3.4 million. We're slightly behind schedule in the delivery of the new buildings. Page six, fourth quarter financial information. Honourable Chair, would the members prefer to ask us direct questions about the fourth quarter before we move on to the closer? Or should I finalise the closeout report and then we deal with any questions? Overall, the closeout report for the year 2011-2012. Have members got that document in front of them? closeout report is basically an assessment over the four quarters of the year to consolidate the four quarters and to provide a closeout report for the annual performance. In this respect, one can see that the number of cooperation agreements was meant to be three, and we achieved one over the year. And then I wish to remind you that in the fourth quarter we achieved that one. So by implication, we were supposed to have done three during the course of the year. We did one in the fourth quarter, and that's the only one we've done for the fourth quarter. There are two agreements that are in almost at the process of being signed, but we could not record them because they were not concluded. The performance indicator is signed agreements. Thus, the mere fact that there is some typing errors that, or some typing changes that have to be made to an agreement before people sign, it doesn't qualify to be on the record as being done and completed, because the target indicator is the signed agreement. The number of 10 appropriate land tenure applications. Overall, we were supposed to achieve 700 for the year, 175 per quarter, and we did a total of 618. During the first quarter, we relocated offices to the new premises, and during that period, not as many applications were processed during that period, if committee will accept my excuse for that one. The number of exclusive land parcels identified, there were supposed to be two for the year. However, 21 were achieved during the course of the year. Now, this may seem excessive. One wonders whether or not we did not set our targets at too low a standard. However, we had a backlog on the inspections that were being conducted and the recordal of the potential use of the land, and thus we had dedicated an official, a staff member, to proceed with doing all, as many as he could, within a short period of time during the year, and thus the target was exceeded to 21. Once again, as one can see, the consolidated title and the closeout, this activity was not undertaken by the board. The number of land tenure records inputted into the system over the period of the year and the four quarters, the target was 700 and a total of 1,270 were achieved over the course of the year. The number of workshops conducted, 5 was the total for the year and 18 was the final amount that were done. Percentage of applications received from the community. The fourth quarter was 85%. However, the overall percentage of applications for funding received and paid out for the year was 88%. Mr. Chairman, I thank you. That would be the end of my presentation on the fourth quarter and the close-up for the annual report.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to give a reflection of the financials as of 31st May 2012. Chair, I'll use the hard copies first, which is from page 5 to page 8. I think information that I would try to give a summary. On page 5, Chair, we've given a reflection of our assets, liabilities, and then what we refer to as net assets. It will be seen that as of 31st of March, in terms of assets, we had 29 million, which had gone up from 17 million in the previous year. In terms of current assets, we had 333, which had also gone up from 228. I'll give the reasons, because the notes are not attached there. The non-assets, mainly the increase was due to our new building that we have moved into and that we have acquired. In terms of liabilities, we've gone down for non-finance leases from 54 to 22. However, if you look at our current liabilities, we have gone up from 149 to 169. And also, this is the total liabilities that the board has incurred during the year. And therefore, as a summary in page 5, to show what we had as net assets, we had a slight increase from 96 million to 100 million. If we look at our revenue, and which is on page 6, Chair, you'll notice that our revenue has slightly gone up from 21 million in 2011 to 23 million in 2012. However, just below there, if you look at the revenue from the royalties, with a small knock there, we've gone down from 7 million to 5 million. This was due to what my colleague just alluded to, because of the legislation that regulates royalty income. Other revenue, there was an increase. This is mainly the transfer from the department, and it was mainly due to the filling of posts that were vacant in the previous years. If you look at our finance income, which will also be reflected on the cash flow, we had a slight decrease there from 11 million to 9 million. And if you look at our total revenue, which is looking at all the revenue streams that are set above, we had a slight increase from 49 million to 51 million. And then our expenditure, we have increased also in the previous year from 43 million to 47 million. However, at the end of the year, you'll notice that, Chair, for this year, we had a small, what we call surplus of profit of 3 million. Page 7, that shows our accumulated surplus for the year. It also reflects mainly what we had in terms of property transfer. And also important to say there, I will sum it up in the slide, which is say that we had a decrease in income. We also had to decrease the provision for the beneficiaries. There was also a decrease in the, what we call straight lining, according to graph. And as a result, our balance was 100 million by the end of the year. The last page, Chair, which is, I think I'll just stop on the top part of it, which is important to mention, is that there was an impact on our cash flow. As you can see, we moved down from 40 million to 30 million. However, at the bank, also we had a decrease from 85 million to 75 million. And the main reason for the decrease in the bank is that our investments were used for our new properties. So we didn't acquire interest as we anticipated. So to sum up our financials for the year, I'll look at the slide where it says our revenue transfer increased by 2.3%, Our revenue excluding transfer decreased by 6.6%, and our net profit decreased by 41%. Our rental income, which is non-mining, increased by 5.1%. Royalties decreased by 30%. And investment income, as I've said, we've taken the money out from investment to finance our new building. It also decreased by 30%. That is the side of the income. And the side of the expenditure, the total expenditure increased by 8%, or 8.9, which is more 9%. The trust expenditure increased by 1.17%. The transfer expenditure increased, though, as I've said, that this was due to the filling of posts that were vacant in the previous year, increased by 38%. And the provision of disbursement of funds increased by 10%. The secretariat administration, because of new employees, increased by 52%. And the actual payment to the community beneficiaries also increased by 35%. This is the summary check for our financials.
Asking questions that may be mundane, Chief. What makes it difficult for anybody to follow you properly is you just name things without any explanation. Starting from the lady, she made it look like we already know the answers without having to explain to us. She says that you have got 2.7 million hectares of land that are controlled by the trust, and 3.2 million that are in the hands of traditional communities, which will eventually be transferred. I know that we did talk about this thing in the past. What is not clear is supposed to be a fourth quarter report which says where is eventually. What is the, maybe it should be in the operational plan. What are you referring to as this 3.2 million hectares are going to be transferred eventually to the trust that is occupied by traditional communities? What is the plan? Is it in the operational plan? Are we going to get it there?
No.
Because she made no reference to that.
I think what she said there, Chair, is that some, but not all, because what she wanted to bring into light there is that not all traditional communities are under the trust. So you find that although there is 2.7 million hectares under Ingonyama Trust with traditional leaders, but in total the land under traditional leaders in the province is 3.2, which means there is a difference.
There are 51 traditional councils that are
the
not 49. Under. Excuse me.
There are 149 under Ingonyama Trust.
249,
yes. 249 under Ingonyama Trust.
Yeah.
But in the province, there are about 300 traditional leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that, Chief. We're talking about hectares. You say out of those 51 that are not under the trust, they occupy the excess land.
That's correct.
But on top of that, there are those that do not have land at all.
That's correct.
Where do they live?
The land that come across are those traditional leaders who are in farms.
Farms are private properties, isn't it? How do you have a traditional leader on somebody's farm?
Well, I say that's the reality, but I wouldn't be able to actually explain that because it's actually domain of another department in the province. But they are traditional leaders who are in the farm. And they have that accolade to become traditional leaders.
Gigi, let's put this thing to rest. Every year we're coming back to the same point. And I think it is not fair for us as the committee to have to live with something hanging like this for a long time. And now the chief executive is introducing a moot point. This is a domain of another department. For God's sake, we're running a government for everybody, not for pockets. So it can be a domain of another department. We need a finality on this matter. What's the plan?
Thanks, James. Historically, there are traditional leaders that were in the former homeland, of course. But for some reason or the other, due to the apartheid system, there were traditional leaders who were installed by the former administration. For instance, in the case of KwaZulu-Natal, the Natal provincial administration, through the entities it had established in the province, had installed traditional leaders who did not have any particular territory that they covered. Many of these traditional leaders were found in fact. I think at some point we were talking about 60 of them. Over time, the department assisted some of them because there were people who were paying allegiance to them. Some of them have land, but it is not land in communal land. It is land that was acquired through the redistribution program. The land was transferred to trust and CPA. In fact, there were even some who were deposed by the previous administration for various reasons, some of them that were political, and found themselves living in townships without their clan. Again, there was a legislation that was passed which was in line with the national legislation. There's a specific legislation in the province where the provincial government conducted investigation into the legitimacy of various traditional authorities. Many of them were found to have been in positions of traditional authority when actually the history suggested otherwise. So some of those have been deposed now by the current administration because they were regarded as traditional leaders that were illegitimate. So the MEC in the province and the king have the responsibility then of appointing the new ones that according to history and research are the legitimate ones. There are a few of those that were previously regarded as landless, whom when the province was conducted history, province has verified that actually those that were in power were not the legitimate ones. It was those that are landless that are actually the legitimate ones. The same thing, I think the KwaZulu government did the same thing as well. It did also appoint some traditional leaders in the province, but according to history, that has since been verified in the past, they are not legitimate traditional leaders. That is the story. I don't know whether, I think it has happened elsewhere in other parts of the country, not only in KwaZulu-Natal. It has happened in the Mbofo, I do know for a fact. I do also know that in most of the former homeland, the native commissioners with the authority, some of them, of the crown, then did sign letters appointing people and removing others from position of traditional leaders. That is part of the history.
Teacher, I didn't want to stop you because the key issue for us is land. As you'd know, that we are focusing on the land, not on the people who are in charge. Although there was the explanation given on landless traditional leaders, but on the question of land, I'm not canvassing that the trust takes over all the land. We just want to know, because who is accountable for the land that is not under the trust? who does that? Because we're not getting a report from the department exclusive of the report that we're getting from the Ngonyama Trust, are we?
Chair, perhaps what, because we reported for the first time on the CPAs, as I've suggested, that some of these CPAs jointly own land together with what was previously landless Amakhosi. We can prepare a report in instances where we have acquired land. Even the former Department of Land Affairs has acquired land for communities and your former landless Amakhosi. We can compile that report. There are trusts and CPAs that are in place in the province. We can provide that.
That's fine. I'm happy with that, DG, because you see, when the Chief Surveyor General, is that the right title, Chief? When he reports about state land that has been recorded, we should have a total land surface that is all accounted for by himself covering both you and Ngonyama Trust. So that we have an understanding of what is the extent of the land that we're talking about here, instead of these pieces, because the problem with these pieces is that it may also not help us to understand whether there is still land which is now in private hands, which is not recorded as belonging to you, not recorded as belonging to the CPAs, but which still belongs to the state. We can't know that until we have a fuller report. I'm not suggesting get a new job, DG, done, but I'm saying it is something that has to be done. For us to have to do our work properly, we need to understand the total picture, not pockets of the picture. Honourable members, you have an opportunity. We have the usual suspects joined by Ms. Taba and Ms. November raising their hands. So I'll take Ngwenya Mabila, Honorable Trollip, Ms. Taba, and November in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the report as presented to the committee, but I've got a few questions that I want to ask based on the information that has been presented to us. The first one, when looking at the page 4, where you are talking of the number of cooperation agreements entered into and implemented, you are saying that the target was 3, then you have been able to achieve 1 out of 3. But when looking at the reasons, you are saying that the other 2 agreements were still being discussed by stakeholders. What I wanted to check is that when are you planning to finalize this agreement? Then the other one is that you are talking of the roadshows, that you're planning to conduct 2 roadshows, but you ended up conducting 5. Then what were the financial implications? Although it's good to exceed the target, but on the other side, if you were planning to conduct 2, then you ended up conducting 5. I think there were financial implications that were involved here. Then the other one is the number of title deeds consolidated and a reconciled register. Then we are saying appointment of the service provider. Under the reasons you're talking about that the process for consolidation has been revisited. So I don't know when you're planning to do this. Didn't you think of the cost vis-a-vis the benefits? Because you can't plan. Then after planning, you've said no. Now we've decided of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that was supposed to be taken into consideration when we're planning this. Then under this, under page 6, performance measures, we talk of the mining stroke royalty, but under the reasons, we are saying royalties are now being paid by mining operators to the state. So it means that the amount that you've generated here, the 3.5, was only for mining. I want to get a clear understanding on that one, because if royalties are being paid to the state, I think there's no need to say mining stroke royalties, because you are aware that royalties are no more being paid to you. So I think you have to clarify that. You know, somewhere you talk of the under the application for appropriate land tenants, you talk of the information that is not sufficient. How do you assess people who are making applications, then at the end of the day you realize that the information is not sufficient? Do you assist them to provide the documents that you require? How do you deal with that? Then how when are you intending to finalize this stakeholder engagement? I think this is for the second time, the cooperation agreement. Then the last one, Chair, when looking at the expenditure, I think this percentage is, it also confuses us, because the percentages must be accompanied by monetary. You know, you just indicate, for instance, the secretariat administration cost increased by 52.06%. How many people were, additional people were employed? Then maybe if you can put this in monetary terms rather than 52.06%. Because we don't know it's 52% of what. Then your actual payments, secretariat administration increased, then transfer payment expenditure increased by 38.9%, trust fund expenditure increased by 1.0%. Maybe you can just give us the reasons for these increases. And also, where did you get the money is out of the income that you are generating, or from which programs of the trust where you have made some deviation? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was covered by your introductory remarks about this report, and I'm not going to ask too many questions about explanations. I just want to make a comment, Chair, that we're a shareholder of this trust, and if this was a private company and this was the board's report to shareholders, it would have been rejected completely. It's thin. It doesn't speak to anything of the activities. We don't understand what exclusive land parcels being identified for management and development. I don't know what that means. So the figures don't add up. For example, on page 5, percentage of applications received from communities. The target was 80% of handling received applications. They say that they achieved 85, but then in the wrap-up or whatever closeout report, it says that the achievement is 88%, so they don't correlate those two. They say precisely the same thing, a total number of 7 requests were received during the quarter, but only 6 were paid. And then, Chair, just a generic comment about the financials and the presentation of the financials. I have grave misgivings about what's happening to the Ingonyama Trust Board. The income or revenue is declining alarmingly. The increase of grants is the only thing that's keeping it in the black at the moment. If this trend continues, I'd like to hear from the CFO what the plans are to reverse this trend, because it's a steep decline of financial fitness of this organization. And what are you going to do about addressing the revenue issues? We're told that the extent of the land is 2.7 million hectares, yet the income that's generated from that land is a paltry 1.7 million in the fourth quarter. How can you generate 1.7 million rands worth of revenue generated from non-mining income, including leases, from 2.7 million hectares of land? It's got to be the worst kind of business in the world. So we need some explanations about the financial fitness of Ingonyama Trust Board and why the revenue and income is so paltry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation that we have shared. And my colleagues next to in my right, they take my mouthful, but I'll just ask one clerk, Chair. We saw a number of things that here they have implemented, Chair. But my worry is that I don't know which place they were implementing all those problems and which community that they were affected. Because what I know, in KZN we have a place that have names. That it will help us, Chair, when we are going to do our oversight to know which place must go to and see to say that is exactly this thing happened here in this community. And ask our community that is this thing happen, but we don't know. There is some number of things that happen, workshop, whatever, but no place, no name, no town, no chief. We don't know nothing. This is blank, Chair. We don't know nothing. It's like when you call the young man or young girl from crash, tell them must write here, just write. Not status, what happened, where, which, I don't know, but I know the number of things here happen and done, agreement, and again, there is a community here in Lines 4. The target was meet to land management plan were developed and discussed with the affected community. Where, Chair? You don't know. Thank you.
Dank u, achtbare voorzitter, voor de geleentheid wat ik krijg. Mijn achtbare collega's heeft mij rechtig waar ook gedekt, want baie ding is nog niet duidelijk bij jullie terugvoeren. Als we ons kijken op bladzij 5, wordt gebruikt van number of workshops en roadshows conducted, 2 en dan existing 5. Lijkt voor mij een repetitie van die ding, want op bladzij 8 staan amper zo diezelfde gelegde ding, diezelfde ding, bladzij 8. Number of workshops, roadshows conducted, 5, 18, exceeded. Hoezo, hoe gebeurt zulke wonderlijke werken? Dat werkt bitterlijk wonderlijk. Baie dankie, voorzitter.
Ik heb voor een pleasure. I hope you understood.
Ek verstaan Afrikaans baie goed, dankie.
Dankie, mevrouw.
En een bekie Sizulu ook.
Oh, dankie. Meneer, I don't have any other hands, so you go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. There were questions that were related to real estate. I would like my colleague Belinda to attend, then I'll
try to... Before she comes in. I want to go back to the point that I made earlier that you don't give an explanation. For us to have an understanding of what you do and how you do it and the results, you must start as if you were meeting us for the first time, you have never met us, and say, when you set a target, what will be the basis of setting that target? If you say 2, why not 5? Why not 8? So explain to us why you said 2. Because it makes it unrealistic for you to set a target of 2 and get 21. We think that originally that 2 was not meaningful. Because why did you get 21? As if you don't know you're moving into a forest, you don't know what you're going to get inside there. So those are the kinds of explanations that would make your fourth quarter report, Chief, meaningful to us. It's a really serious issue for me. Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Chairman and honourable members, Madam, insofar as the questions that you had raised, I think they are very valuable, and I think the insight provided is excellent because it's given us an idea of what committee is looking for and what the members are looking for. I think you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, this was a bit of flesh, but I appreciate the fact that perhaps this was not enough flesh for committee to sink its teeth into and to get to grips with the Ingonyama Trust Board, and I apologize for that. You know, we came here with stats, and we didn't realize you appreciate.
Don't go too far and be profusely.
Profusely.
Ma'am.
Obsequious.
Ma'am, there's a book written by Stephen Lukes. It was published in 1976. It describes power. That book specifically says the people who hold power are the ones who choose which information will get onto the agenda, which information will not get into the agenda. You are putting us in a disadvantage here because when you summarize your fourth quarter report, you choose what information to give us, which information you don't give us. So once you are apologizing, but the most important part is why did you decide to give us some information and not the rest? So your apology will then be much more acceptable if you told us the reason why you choose some, to withhold some information and give us part of the information.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In achieving compliance, we wish to now flesh out some of the questions that were asked, instead of just providing stats and figures. When are we planning to finalize the last two cooperation agreements? We have two cooperation agreements that are in the final stages of preparation, one with the Richmond municipality and the other one with the Umzumbe municipality. Those two are in the process of being presented to both councils and for the final agreements to be drafted according to the terms and conditions as agreed upon by the parties. It is our anticipation that we wrap up those in the next month or two. Insofar as the roadshows are undertaken, I believe that we had budgeted sufficient during that period for the excessive for the additional roadshows. However, it is our training officer is in a position now where he has formulated a procedure and an interaction with various communities in which he can go and present. And all the roadshows are not necessarily big roadshows with speakers, and sometimes it's merely a community meeting and a presentation to a council or to a traditional court. They are not necessarily excessively large shows that are put on for the community. The number of titles consolidated and the cost benefit, I think you're quite right here, madam. There was insufficient understanding of what the implications would be in a financial until we were along the process of actually calling for those figures. And it should have not been a target. And I think we have definitely removed that from our future annual performance plan going forward. Insofar as the mining royalties...
You see, honourable member, she now is taking a decision. In future, she will not give us that information. How can you
make that decision? I never said we're not going to produce that information. I said it's no longer going to be a performance projection of the board. The board.
You are the board?
No. This was determined at our strategic planning session prior to arrival at this meeting. Insofar as the application, the mining royalties, mining royalties are no longer payable to the Ingonyama Trust Board. They are payable directly to the state, and as such will be reflected accordingly. You mentioned that the applications, if there's insufficient information to process the application, in order to highlight the process, if an application is received, our first response is to advise the applicant that the application has been received and to provide them with a checklist of any outstanding information. The application forms are received and set out specific criteria that the board would like to see in processing the application. If any documentation or information is outstanding, the applicant is advised in writing of the outstanding documentation. The question regarding expenditure and the percentage that needs to be that the portfolio committee requires more than just merely percentages, it requires figures of substance. I believe Mr. Bebe will field that question. And if I may just finalise the questions that were raised. Mr. Trollope, Honourable Member Trollope. It is Mr. Trollope, isn't it? Sorry.
Could you please look at me when I'm
I was a bit concerned. I hope I didn't get the name wrong. I just don't know what's going on. I thought I was being saved by the bell there. I believed I was being saved by the bell.
No, remember that poem, The Club and the Lion? The announcer who speaks to the German said, yes, I'm there. That's the next continuity word.
Our annual report, which is presented to Portfolio Committee, will flesh out specific projects that we're dealing with. We'll flesh out a lot of detail. What we are presenting today is the fourth quarter statistics and the closeout statistics. Information regarding projects and specific items may be a bit thin in paper. However, it was our belief to provide committee with the statistics, the information as per the APP. Insofar as the presentation on finance in revenue and the increase in grants and the sleep and your concerns regarding the steep decline of the organisation on revenue, honourable members, the number of portions of land that we own, the 2.7 million hectares of land, is by and large rural land. It is not high economic nodes. We are in the process of unveiling programs within which to target economic development with our partners in other government departments. But that requires a number of cooperations with various government departments, with private sector, insofar as delivering services. The land has to have an economic benefit within order to make money from it. And if I can explain this in very realistic terms, a lot of the land is used for agriculture and subsistence agricultural farming. We do not ask great rentals from communities in order to be able to do their subsistence farming. It is not as if we are dealing with Tongaat Hulett on the outskirts of Nkandla. We are dealing with very poor, very rural communities who, to charge economic rental, might not always be the best option. So even though we have large tracts of land, not all of it has high economic potential. It is being used for both the social, material, and economic well-being of the communities. And as much as we promote economic development, we promote social welfare, we try and ensure that the land is used for the best benefit of the community, we also have to ensure that we are not depriving the community of their natural or that we are not increasing the hardship of the community by ensuring that high rentals are charged in order to increase our balance sheet. Thank you. I'm proceeding to the next question. Where are these programs being implemented? Madam, you asked the question about where are these programs being implemented. In effect, it was regarding the two items that were raised on the closeout report. Those two programs were instituted in Jasini and in Gwelazane. In Gwelazane, it was a cooperation between the Umhlatuze municipality in cooperation with the traditional council in order to facilitate housing programs within the community on the periphery of Ngwelizane Township. Insofar as Jusenia is concerned, the Jusenia program and the identification of the land parcels, and in this case I would like to expand a little bit more on the program. We have been working for a number of years in the Jusenia area trying to upgrade, formalize, and interrogate the Jusenia area. What we managed to achieve through our staff was to undertake a land audit in the area to confirm who was using what land for what purpose, and then to undertake a program within the CBD of encouraging business owners to come forward and conclude lease agreements with the Ingonyama Trust Board. In that week alone, the four staff members who undertook this program received a total income within that week of 263,000 rand from 41 leases concluded in the CBD of Jusenia. And these are the kind of programs that the board is undertaking insofar as development plans and management plans and land use plans within areas. Ms. November, Honourable Member November. Madam, the reason that the numbers will almost look like they've been duplicated is because the fourth quarter only refers to the period during December to March, and the closeout report refers to the April to March period. So even though the figures look a lot close, they are in fact an accumulation of four quarters comprised into one. However, in that particular case, for example, only one agreement was concluded for the year, and that agreement was concluded in the fourth quarter. Hence, the numbers appear very similar. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to the question regarding the revenue streams that the Honourable Member Trollip has raised. I think the board is also concerned with the decline in revenue for the past year. As we have mentioned, the primary reason for this is that for the 2011-2012, royalties were not paid to ITB. Therefore, new strategies are being developed to make sure that we get proper revenue and to make sure that our balance sheet looks like a business entity, as the Honourable Member has put. Also important is what my colleague...
Do you have that obligation in terms of the draft deed?
To make sure that the community benefit from whatever is happening from there.
To make sure that you have a
Not necessarily, Chair, I'll concede to that, but I think it is important that this trust has put a reputation that is able to sustain itself, and it becomes a worry when things look as if it will not be able to do that in future.
At some point there was an indication that your future land management board will take the majority of the tasks of the current ITB. And when that happens, I'm worried that if there are functions that are included in the ITB, the current, when you create the land management board, it will sound like you're reducing the responsibilities and therefore maybe downgrading their role and scope. I'm getting worried that the more we hear about ITB, the more they expand. Last year we called it the function shift. They're moving away from the real original levels and getting to a business. Now it's even saying future, we're going to be more business-like. I am just worried. I know that your land management boards are not yet here, but you gave us an indication that that is the route you're going towards. I'm hearing that there's now going to be a parastatal running a business.
Chair, I thought he had conceded that that is not the function of the board. I think the only reason the board was able to show positive cash flow and keep reserves was precisely because of those riots in the main. The money that is made available to the trust by the department is small in relation to what they were able to generate through royalties, but the legislation has changed. So that if we, in future, Parliament passes a law that establishes land rights boards, and the land rights board, as we initially intended, even in Kara, would have converted the Ingonyama Trust Board into a land rights board. The purpose of those boards will be quite clear, and therefore any one of those boards would have to confine themselves within that particular mandate of their legislation, and they would have to comply. Because it would be even difficult to spend any money on things that are not mandated by the law. I do know that they may be bringing together things that are not necessarily in the law. For instance, the developmental work that the chairperson of the trust, in his other capacity as the king, is pursuing, but it's more of a network rather than a mandated function by any law. But we do take note of the chair's concern about that.
Yeah, well, because honourable members, vested interest is a very dangerous thing. Once you allow it to stand, it may be difficult to undo it. In fact, you may have a possibility of creating two parallel structures, one being a developmental agency, because this is the work that they were already used to, and a new one which will deal with the rights to land. It's a difficult thing to do. That is why I'm bringing that to the attention of the CEO. Continue, Chief.
Thank you, Chair. The other important issue is what my colleague has just raised, Chair, that it is important to understand the land that the board looks after, because if you take the extent and then comment in terms of the extent, generally there is that you miss the point that this extent of land is actually occupied by traditional communities. Yes, I think it's important to put that into perspective, because it is important. Otherwise, you say we've got quite a huge chunk of land, and is it what we're deriving from the land? And then the other question that was raised is to say, when some of these targets were achieved, to what extent did it impact on the additional finances, particularly the training ones? Chair, mainly it was because we employed additional staff last year to fill up the vacancies. And the additional staff were within the organogram. That's why you find that the transfer amount had an increase, a huge increase, because the new staff were using the money that was from the transfer. So the transfer then had an increase in terms of its utilization. And in the on the other side, we managed to do more because there were more people on the field and there were more people doing the work, particularly the education officer. I also say that we developed guidelines, as my colleague has just indicated, which actually assisted her to do some of these workshops. That's why the number went up. The cooperation agreement, I think my colleague has covered that well. The issue of mining, I think she has covered that well also. But also to say that although the royalties are no longer being paid to us, we have noticed in some instances that some of these companies didn't have surface right leases. So we are pushing them. That's why you'll find that there's something which says royalties mining. We are pushing them to sign leases so that instead of paying the royalties, they are paying the surface right leases. So that item, that's why it's there.
your plan works when you might take most of your time. So there will be a difficulty if you finish your work. When you might not did not submit the operational plan, so we take it as read.
No, we thought we'll finish this and then come to the next
We agreed that we make a whole presentation and then we have to sit later. Did you? We take over.
Before the teacher takes over, Chairperson, I'm tempted just to raise a concern with regards to the responses that have been given. On the issue of application that are attended to, or the letters of request for certain for finding, and then applications are sent to the applicants. I really wonder what process or procedure that they are being followed by the office or the officers responsible for attending to the letters written or applications. If I may call them, because if one may recall, the Honourable Ngosi Mandela pointed out in one of the meetings that some of our courses decided just to opt out of the Moyama Trust because they were not seeing any assistance or financial assistance with regard to funding on certain projects that they wanted to. But afterward, then it had seemed to be they are now towing the line. They are now agreeing and accepting that they are interested for them as the leaders of the communities in the areas. If one may point out, I'm not trying to embarrass the officials with the response that I've given with regards to attending to the letters, because seemingly one has an experience that writing to the Moyama Task Force with requesting for funding for certain projects, you couldn't get even an acknowledgement to say, we've received your request. So here are the forms. Fill them and resubmit them for processing. So I wanted just to point out that if that's the case, I wonder then who do they provide or post as a person responsible for accepting or receiving the application. That's my general comment. Responsible that Chaski is giving
Chaski.
Thank you, Chair. Now, I want to turn this question to the DG. The grants has been reduced. Maybe on page 6 from the 2.9, from the 3.2, then gone down to 2.9. Maybe can I understand the reason? Because maybe the Moyama Trust now is going to be independent or just to reduce repeat until they stand by themselves. Secondly, I'm confused about this DG Bende Samakos. Can't understand this. I really can't understand it. Person can be appointed as Induna without any piece of land. But that Inkosi, I really don't understand. Maybe you mentioned Indunas in the farms that are running under white people, running the administration on behalf of the white people, then you call them Amakosi. I'm from the rural, but I don't understand. I never been in the farmland. Thank you.
A Induna in the farm is called a busboy. He He wants to make sure that all the boys on the farm are compliant with the rules and regulations of the farm. Cannot be chief or wrinkles. It's a past boy. But chief, please, man, Ngosi Qebekulu is raising a legitimate question. But perhaps expand your answer to include, because we don't know when you started giving out money to various traditional authorities. We don't know how much you have covered up to now. So that if we could have an understanding that they submitted an application, they did not receive any acknowledgement, let alone an approval and getting money. To what extent are those that we are not aware of that have submitted applications, have you not even assisted? We need to have an understanding. Qebekulu is quoting Mandela, who said some other traditional leaders said we're pulling out under the jurisdiction of Ingonyama Trust because we're getting no benefits from it. Can you give us a bigger picture, please?
Thank you, Chair. I think what Qebekulu is raising is one of the challenges that we identified last year, particularly because we had thin staff on the ground. We were not able to communicate to all traditional authorities and leaders on what ITP does and how it does it, the processes. However, we have tried to cover quite a substantial area by now. And also what we realized was the main problem was that, Chair, Amakhosi didn't know that if you don't have an activity that generates income within that traditional authority, you cannot claim for the funds that are generated by Inkosi Umageba to be utilized for Inkosi Qebekulu. That's what we've been doing. So funds that were utilized for Inkosi Qebekulu were the funds that were generated by the activities within the parameters of Inkosi Qebekulu. So what was happening is that anyone who was within the ITB land was putting up an application, only to realize that the project cannot be funded because there are no funds that are generated within that area. So that has been a challenge. However, we have said, Chair, that we are sharing with Amakhosi now that surely we understand that resources for instance, mineral resources are not spread across the province on equal basis. You'll find that some Amakhosi who have mined had money and those who didn't have nothing. However, at the moment, we are saying within each traditional council, you'll find that there's a must, Vodacom must, MTN must. And what we have noticed is that some of those trading entities did not put their registration through ITP, however they were putting it through elsewhere. We are saying to Inkos, there should be no Inkos within ITP land who cannot generate anything. If they send mining happening in the area, you need to make sure that those resources are generated and put in the account of that traditional council. Because in the previous, what has been happening, particularly for those that have nothing, we do have Amakhosi, we have nothing in the account. You'll find that people are utilizing the resources, but they are not using the proper channels to put the monies that will assist those communities. Coming to the issue of acknowledgement, I think Kosi, I would need to apologize if Kosi didn't receive anything and he has sent a letter through. What happens is that whatever we receive, there is someone who acknowledges. Say, you have received your application, it will be submitted to ESCO. We've got what is called ESCO for tenure rights. And this body meets more or less monthly to look at the applications that have been sent. And then if the applicant meets the basic requirements, is there money in that TC? Is it relevant what is going to be put there? I'll give an example, Chair, because we get applications from certain applicants who want to put up a school. Our question is, when we build that school, what will the Department of Education say? Are they going to provide teachers? There are quite a lot of questions. We are saying we cannot replicate the functions of the provincial structure if that has not been communicated to the provincial structure. And we respond to the applicant to say, your application has not gone through because of A, B, C, D. If it does go through, we respond again to the applicant to say, your application has gone through, you need to sign the lease. We phone them to come to the office, or we send the application to the nearest TC, where they will sign that application, and then it's brought back to the board, and then the authorized natural signs the application, and then the lease is concluded. That is the process.
What is the working relationship between ITP and other authorities? They refer that applicant to those authorities. For them, the onus is on them to prove that other entities are going to help them. It's not their role to do that. It makes it even more difficult and complicated.
Chairperson, my intention was not to delay the process of running the meeting, but you know, I'm talking here about those amakosi. If I may start by saying, Chairperson, you know, the district houses of amakosi invited the chairperson of the board, who is Judge Ngwenya, just to do presentation so that they could understand what process and procedure should to be followed if they have funds available in the Ngwenya Trust. And we insisted to Judge Ngwenya that this should be done to all 11 local houses or district. And I'm sure Ngonyama Transport did that, which shows that not a single Nikos now can say he does not know what processes are to be followed. They went as far as issuing a list of amakosi who have funds in the board, who can apply. And even those who applied knowing that they have funds, they couldn't get the acknowledgement that there was a letter sent to the board requesting a funding for a certain project. Let alone dealing with the schools. Projects like agricultural projects, which the main focus is with regards to rural people, because we know where we can sort of try and update the standard of living is through working the land that we have, through agriculture. If then the CEO says, maybe it's simply because some do not know that or don't have been found. I was just raising an envelope here to say, from 2009, I sent a letter to the board up requesting that we need the funding. I know that the committee that I'm coming from has some funds available in the board. Last year, I did the same, but no responses, no acknowledgements. So I'm just raising it just to conscientize the office of the Ngwenya Transport that they need actually to post certain people to deal with the request or the applications or the letter of application before maybe providing them with the form so that they could be in the position to say, this is what we have, this is what we need to have developed. So that's my point I wanted just to raise.
Chair, thank you. I think we are noting what Inkosi Qebekule is raising. I'll follow up the matter.
In parliament language, when a report is noted, it means you're not going to do anything about it. When a report is, what is the other term? Adopted. Remember, you say we want Parliament to note, or you want the Parliament to consider. So when it is considered and adopted, then something will be done. But when it is just noted, nothing is going to happen. So So when you say you are noting that question, that I'm thinking, you're in parliamentary terms, it means you're telling him in front of his eyes, I'm not going to do anything about that. Thank you, Chief. Thank you. I understand what you meant. DG, let them stand down, because we will take the operational plan. Is this the, how you write your operational plan? So is that a presentation based on the operational plan? Le presentation sini kwa ingo ni. Kamu wibon. Kai fagabe eladike. Epaisko. Kaze lam ublaban. Kane java. Miss Dr. Mashi told us when we started the process, remember Tina, we were the first one in Parliament to have an APP outside the district plan. We always refer to, no, it cannot be in the APP, it will be in the operational plan. Then we said, okay, we wanted to know the difference between the APP and the operational plan. And we were told that the APP will have summaries per quarter, and the operational plan will have details per program and activity. Now we're getting an operational plan from Ngonyama Trust. For me, it does not look different from the APP that we received from them, unless you use the thing and explain which, from which page to which page we do need to do this. So we need to have an understanding.
Thank you, Chair. What we have done for the operation plan, Chair, you'll see that we have given details of the activities. Like where in the target, we say in footnotes and say the quarter activities are these. In some areas, the quarter activities are like repetition. First quarter, like that, let me more accumulate. But they are now not to say what activities will be done in each quarter.
ninga ndibuyele kuthi into le wrong osibuzileyo ibangani bani ngasixelele bakwenza kanje. Sifuna understand lo basithi aba wrong osinicho ukuthi hayi niyabhatyaza uqhutywa kwesikolo. Kuba ngohlobo thina. Uba said into right nithi ke nenza nika nini li right. Ngoku nibe cwaka. Kwenza kanjani? I'm saying in English. I'm just checking whether we asked the wrong question. And you would have given us the right thing if we did not ask the wrong question. But they are not responding to my question, including the CEO.
Chair,
yeah. Give us the right thing. As you know,
unfortunately, I did not see that, but I did not see the report before, but I see what the chair is referring to in terms of... No, you're not. You are not. Yes.
CEO, go sort it out with the DG and come back to us when you are ready. Take over, DG now. Now you've got four reports. Members, let's agree. In order for us to be able to have done work today, we're stopping this meeting at 1. It's 11:45 now. We've got an hour and 15 minutes. can we prioritize and get the right document at the right time so that by 1 o'clock, we have had the majority of the work that we've paid to do done. Did you, I would prefer that you, Ms. Kovoto's two reports, this money after you have submitted your operational plan. Which means we're prioritizing your operational plan. And then we'll deal with, after your operational plan, we'll deal with you. We'll cover this work, and then you come back with for the fourth quarter, in that order. You will still have time. 1 hour, 15 minutes. Just go through all of them. Then we'll write questions.
Thank you, Chair. Dr. Mashia will be leading us in the presentation of the operational plan and the discussion on the fourth quarterly report, and the acting CFO will be discussing the financial performance for the third quarter, and the chief land, no, for the year, for the fourth quarter, yes. And then the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, the two reports. Thank you.
Good day, Chairperson and the committee. I think there's a technical issue here. The presentation that is put here is not the right one. So I will propose that we move, that I present from the hard copies that the committee has to save time whilst the parliamentary liaison officer is sorting this out. the money went to.
Operational plan.
It's in black and white, the copies that have been given to the members. Okay. The presentation overview, first, we have given the key priorities for the year 2012 as taken from the annual performance plan. And as Chairperson indicated, we promised the committee that the details of the plan shall be given in the operational plan. Now, what we have done, to just explain to the members of the committee, we took the strategic objective as is in the annual performance plan so that there is alignment. And then from there, each branch gave the detailed activities, the deliverables that they're going to be doing quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four to achieve that strategic objective. The mission, vision, and the strategy of the department on page four, I request that we skip that because we presented it when we're presenting the annual performance plan. I would like to start on page five, the key priority areas for 2012-13. Under restitution, we said we want to transfer all validated claims of state land by the year 2012-13. So the operational plan is going to talk to that and say what are the targets quota by quota to achieve that. The other priority is the completion of the financial compensation claim. And under land reform, our priority is the recapitalization of land reform funds to ensure productivity and the acquisition and allocation of strategically located land. Under Program 3, Rural Development, we set out the priority of rolling out CRDP to 22 prioritized tourist districts, the job creation, through infrastructure projects, and the NARISEC youth program. So the operational plan is also going to talk to that. And under cadastral services management, we had prioritized the updating of state land register and the e-cadastral. Okay. Now that the fire scope is showing, we can look at the table. Now, if members have got the APP with them, they will see that there's a strategic objective, there's the SO11, compliance with relevant policies, legislation, and legislation governing the management of public sector by 2014. It's a strategic objective that is straight in the annual performance plan. But now, here at this level, we had to detail what are those issues for compliance that we want to make sure that we don't leave out as a department. The first program that we start with is a financial management program. And we detailed that we want to make sure that there is budget and planning documents that are approved by the DG. In this operational planning, we wanted to show how we're going to manage budget and expenditure so that we don't leave it and it catches up when it's the end of the year and we find that programs are just expending all their funds at the end of the year. So we want to make sure that expenditure and budget are strictly monitored. The second indicator is the number of budget performance monitoring reports formally issued. Again, by the CFO. This is also a way of monitoring strictly budgeting in the department. And here we wanted to actually pin managers to be conscious and committed in their forecasting because we saw that managers just project that they're going to be using this money and then they do not really stick to that at the time of expending their budget.
The third indicator there is percentage expenditure variance against the linear target. That indicator we kept it there to the members, honorable members, because it's an indicator that is monitored both by the age in terms of PFMA, but also we also when we account to SCOA and other oversight structures, how we have deviated, how we have managed not to deviate from the stipulation of not more or less than 2% budget expenditure in department. The strategy objective that comes from the APP again is still talking to compliance with relevant policies and legislation governing the management of public sector. This one talks to the corporate support services and the financial management skills. Yeah. Okay. This one talks to still financial management, sorry about that. We capture the other indicator of number of days taken to effect payment from the day of receipt of invoice. We kept this indicator as the operational plan because we want to enforce the achievement of payment within 30 days to our service providers. Now, as I was explaining to the members, if we have this indicator here, is at the branch of the, is at the level of the DDG, then the DDG ensures that the chief directors and the directors underneath this, as this indicator goes to the performance agreement, they put activities that they do monthly and quarterly to make sure that the payments are done, are effected within 30 days. So when we kept it in the operational plan here, it forms the part of the performance agreement of the CFO, and then the chief directors under the CFO put a lower level activities that they do to make sure this is achieved. And then the last one there is the percentage implementation of the management action plan as agreed with internal auditor general and the presidency. This indicator, it is the indicator that we have agreed that all DDGs must be measured on so that we ensure that we deal effectively with the auditor general issues which are in the management letter and the issues that are identified by our own internal audit, because the auditor general looks at the report of internal audit to actually audit us as a department. So when we captured here at this operational planning level, at the level of the DDG, we wanted to make sure that the DG can monitor the DDG if there is 100% implementation of all those issues identified by Auditor General and the internal audit for that branch. So the DDG in turn ensures that the managers in their branches address issues pertaining to their business units. That will make sure that that branch achieves the 100% implementation of the plan of the audit implementation plan. The next indicator talks to the audit steering committee meetings. Again, this one it's a compliance issue because we have to report in the annual report whether our audit committee has been functioning, and it has meetings sitting, and then there's been signing by chairperson of those meetings. So we submit the report in the annual report of this indicator, so we had to keep it here. We took it from the ATP and we brought it to this level of the operational plan. The next indicator is the percentage implementation of decisions taken within 30 days as agreed in the risk committee meetings. In our department, risk management is still in the infancy stages. We have managed to identify the top 10 risks in the department, which then informs the audit plan, the internal audit plan of the department. But here at this level of operation, we wanted to make sure that the decisions that are taken in the audit, in the risk committee meeting, are implemented. So we don't want to leave it at the level of just having the risk register, as we said in the ATP. We want to make sure that
those issues that are recorded in the risk register and other records, and then the resolutions have been taken about them in the risk committee, are implemented. The same principle will be followed in the implementation of this output. The level lower the DDG will be working actively to make sure that those risks are dealt with, and there's a report coming forth which makes that branch to stick to the 85% implementation of the risk committee meeting resolution. The number of oversight reports as prescribed by PFMA based on the business plan of the entity. Chairperson, here you will see that it's a new strategic objective. We didn't have it in the APP. It talks to providing oversight over the public entity. We designed this one specifically because of the lessons learned in the way we've been managing Ingonyama Trust Board as one of our public entities and other public entities. So we put this indicator in the operational plan so that we are part of the planning of our public entities. We are part. We ensure they are effective reporting. We ensure that they submit proper business plans that talk to the business that they contribute into our department. And we also ensure that their annual reports are credible. So it's a new one, but you see that we're targeting to have those reports submitted in all quarters of the year. Still in administration, the branch is corporate support services. Still under that strategic objective of compliance with relevant policies and legislations governing the management of public sector. Here, the members shall remember that in the APP, we just say we'll implement the renewal strategy. We just said percentage implementation of the renewal strategy. But at this level, we have detailed, we have given what are those elements of the renewal strategy. Whilst it is known that public service must make sure that there is limited vacancy rate, there must be disciplinary cases resolved within 90 days, there must be reviewed HR policies, and employees must comply with performance management system. We also know that it has been a challenge, according to Public Service Commission report, for government departments to stick to those compliance issues. This is why in our department we took some of those areas and filter them into the renewal strategy to ensure enforcement of those. So we are monitoring them strictly, and we have put them in the operational plan. All these indicators that you see under the renewal strategy are the indicators that are running across the department. So as they are here in corporate support services, we ensure that all of these, the vacancy rate that must not be more than 10%, the disciplinary cases that must be solved, 65% of them must be resolved within 90 days. All these indicators are going to be in the performance agreement of all senior managers in the department. So when we report to the committee quarterly, we're going to be reporting the picture of the entire organization on these elements. So in the APP, we said renewal strategy, we left at that, and then we said we'll achieve 40% of it by quarter four. And the basis of that quarter four 40% is that the renewal strategy in our department runs for 3 years. So some of the projects are short-term. They shall be achieved within this year. Others have been achieved within 6 months. The other projects will only be achieved after 3 years in the renewal strategy. But these ones that we have captured here in this operational plan, all of them want to ensure those percentages by the end of this year. Then I move to program 2, geospatial and cadastral services. In line with the priorities identified in the beginning of this presentation, we have the strategic objective that talks to an integrated land planning, special information and administration system to promote equitable, sustainable land use and allocation by 2014.
We learned at Chairperson when we were implementing this operational plan that in this program, deeds registration, cadastral surveys, because their maturity is at a different level than the new programs in the department like comprehensive rural development programs, TRIF, and other programs. Here we are measuring issues of efficiency in deeds registration in cadastral surveys. So the members shall see that the operations here, the outputs are actually talking to efficiency of those programs. The output one here is deeds registered in accordance with relevant legislation. So we want to make sure that the 95% of deeds registered are done, they are registered in accordance with the relevant legislation. But also we want to make sure that the examination of those is done within 7 days. So we're aiming for 95% in the registration of those deeds. The second output is registered deeds captured, archived, and delivered. Again, here we were measuring the efficiency of the program. So we said a percentage of deeds captured, archived, and delivered within 10 days from the date of registration according to a DOS system. We're aiming for 95% at the end of this year. Quarterly it's got to be 95%. We have put the DOS system there. When you say according to it, it's a form of verification, means of verification of information, so that if someone can come to our department and say, I want to see if the registration of your deeds is captured, they are captured, they are attached, and they are delivered within this time, we'll be able to use that system to provide evidence that we have reached the 95% that we targeted. The other output is e-cadastre developed. In the APP, we just said that e-cadastre shall be developed in the year, I think, 12-13 in the APP. But here, when we put percentages in this operational plan, the members shall see there's a footnote, in this slide. We say 95% comprise of the milestones, so it's the milestones that we talk about now. So it shall no longer just be percentages. We want to say in quarter one, when we say we've achieved 15%, it's because milestone one, which is what has happened. When we say 35%, milestone two has happened. So this is why this time we've put footnotes in to explain the outputs there. The next output is legislation updated and developed. The performance measure there is memoranda submitted to the Minister for approval and tabling before Parliament. We wanted to know the specific activity that they have to do and according to quotas, what are the milestones again. So according to the annual target, 3 bills and 3 cabinet memoranda must be submitted to the Minister for approval and tabling. And quarterly it must be 2 bills and 3 cabinet memoranda. In the last quarter, they say that there shall be no target. This is why you have the zero then. The next program is Geospatial and Cadastral Service. Still the same strategic objective. The output is efficient registration of diagrams and sectional plans. The indicator there is average number of days taken to examine cadastral service. It's still the efficiency indicator. Last year we had said 21 days. This year in the APP and the operational plan, says those 21 days must be reduced to 14 days. It means they must be more efficient in examining these cadastral documents for approval. And the second indicator is the number of projects
process from examination to approval. They are aiming to do 13,000 projects for year 2012, but they've split according to quarters. The second output is state land surveyed, that it comes straight from the ATP, and here we said number of hectares of state land in former homeland survey, and we have put the quarterly target. Now, at the level below this one, they then put the activities that they are going to do to make sure that they achieve that target, those targets quarterly. The other output is efficient geospatial information services. The members will remember that in the APP, the previous years we've just been saying providing geospatial information services, but now we have put a qualitative aspect and we say they must be efficient. And then we said, what are the days that we show they are efficient in providing this geospatial information system? They said they will take 15 days now in providing spatial surveys and mapping, including the orthophoto images for the land reform program. So it's 15 days now that we target to do this year. The other output is a comprehensive land register. This one comes from the ATP again. The number of the indicator there is the number of state land parcels verified, and they aim to verify 529,000 in this year. They've divided the work. They undertook that this work shall be done in quarter one and quarter two. That at the end of the year, they will have completed the work. Cadastral electronic repository. The indicator is number of days for each diagram, general plan and sectional plan data to be captured into the database linked to the scanned image repository after its approval. They want to take 5 days. It's the efficiency indicator. Next output is trained geomatics professionals. And there they say they want to measure the number of new pupil cadastral officers they train. The target is 60. This one, we again, is one of those we couldn't change. This card is coming from the ATP.
Sorry, Chair. If I could interrupt. The presenter's simply reading the report, going through bit by bit. We've got the report. We're going to assess the department's performance according to this. Wouldn't it be more helpful if we just got, for the next section around spatial planning and land use, some of the highlight issues, some of the more important issues to deal with? Because this is going to be our reference. For to be read to us, I think, is chewing valuable time. Yeah, I was specifically prompted to say that because the reporter is saying they say they're going to do it in 5 days, as if she's reporting for somebody else. It's actually the department. We are going to do this.
Chairperson, maybe what was my role here was just to explain how we've taken from the annual performance plan to the operational plan and how other indicators remain static whilst others have been unpacked to a lower level. And I think the comment from the honourable member is taken. Because we've tabled, this is what is going to be used to measure us quarterly. That is, I think, sufficient, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, can you please assist me? I understand what is being said by Member Tralib, but I thought that you will apply the same rule, because to me, when I was looking at this plan, it's still the same as the APP. To me, because you said initially that the operational plan should be in detail. I just want to cite one example. I think the operational plan should be smart, as we always used to say. Specific, measurable, accurate, realistic, and time-bound. So I thought that this plan is going to be specific because the annual performance plan was just giving us figures. For instance, the 22 districts, I'm just citing an example. I thought the operational plan will be specific, that in the first quarter, we're going to focus in this district. The second quarter, the names of the district. But if it's saying 22, then we just got the figures. To me, it's still vague, because when making the oversight, to which district are you going to, for instance, in the first quarter, if it's, they are saying it's two districts, they are not mentioned which are those districts. So it makes, sometimes it makes our oversight role very much difficult. I thought maybe in some of the activities, they need specifics. Although I agree that some, they need numbers. But when looking at the activities, they're not the same. Others, we need to get specific, because the APP is not the same as the operational. I think this was supposed to be a detailed, thick document, because it is specific. You said when we're dealing with APPs, because some of the questions that we're raising, they've said, no, pack those, because we're going to get them in the operational plan. When we're just arguing, how much is this going to cost? They've said, no, pack those. We'll get them in the operational plan. Because each and every activity must tell us, we're going to do this here at this cost. When? So that we are able to track each and every quarter, that they are able to implement what they plan to do. So when just listening and looking at this plan, I thought, to me, really, I think there's more that needs to be done, so that as the committee, our role is make easier. Thank you, Chair.
Part of the truth told by the two members would relate to your ability to identify those areas that are missing from the operational plan. Once you focus on the details, you will then see this one is missing. There's an action that is missing. I'll give you four examples. You'll advise that none of them are covered. It's just that you're looking in a hurry, that's why you didn't see. The land rights management facility, both their measurable numbers of people that they would be dealing with, including how the department will monitor them and how they will monitor the courts, is not included in the operational plan. Which means that your evictions from farms is not part of your operations. You have outsourced that to the service provider. Hence, you do not have it part of your operations. You have no intention of planning to do anything about it in your operational plan. The second one is you have indicated to us that you will provide support to CPAs. The dysfunctional CPAs. Nothing in this operational plan indicates what work will be done where in that regard. Thirdly, you say that there will be a process to develop. You see, this thing says that you are going to have a memoranda signed by you to the minister and a bill. There will be six of those. But there are no milestones for the green paper, for instance. You indicated earlier that you will give us milestones of the working groups on the green paper. No, nothing in this operational plan regarding that. It's also bone throwing from our side to know and understand that one of those three bills you'll give us will be the CPA Act amendment. We don't know. Excuse me. So DG, the two members are really telling the truth, and I want to swear under oath that I agree with them.
Chair, thank you very much. Perhaps in preparing the presentation, we've reduced it to bare minimum. Having been part of the sessions in the department and having facilitated some of them myself, I can say that for each one of these programs, there is a detailed operational plan. Honorable Ngwenya Mabila is right. We have to prepare you and actually have a file where we say corporate support services. Here is that detailed plan. Finance services, financial services, here is that detailed plan. Rural infrastructure development, STRIF, and so on and so on. We will provide that, Chair.
Normally, who do you give these documents to? Normal, under normal circumstances. Who receives those documents you're talking about?
Jefferson. they are internal performance monitoring documents. They are part and parcel of the performance monitoring internally in the department. In our quarterly reports, what you get here perhaps is a synthesis of that of those volumes. If you look at our quarterly reports, they are generated from implementation of the actions in those detailed action plans. We don't normally, even the Auditor General audits us on the basis of the APP, but they can have access to it. They have never been made public documents, or we've never had to submit them to Parliament.
Knowing that these are new developments in the national government, they've been ordinary tread of the mill in the provinces. Ms. Mushi, do you think that it is something that is onerous on your part to be required to give us this statement? I'm now soliciting your opinion before we... Because I don't know whether the minister would not have signed to this statement. I wouldn't guess. I would like to have to find out. You see, because of our role up the committee in teach, unless we take ourselves too seriously, our role is to find out information so as to be able to make up our minds, not only listen to you, make up our minds as to whether this... We were asking Goyama Trust here in front of you that they set targets. For us, in our eyes, they are meaningless. Because if they say we will do 2 and they do 21, although it's, perhaps it's an exceptional example, this one. But for us, we need to have an understanding. How do you come to a conclusion, I will do 2 instead of doing 18? How do you come to that conclusion? There is nothing indicating that here. So it will help us, Ms. Mushi, in our teaching, if you give us the document that Ms. William Avila is talking about. We are not asking you to prepare a special document for us. Just give us the one that you have. That's all we ask you for.
Chairperson, perhaps the DG is saying everything, but maybe falling short of describing the process that landed us here, Chairperson. He is so right. We had various intense operational planning sessions, and our operational plans have got demands of the task, the budget for the task, the where, and all of that. That's what you're talking about. And then before we come here, Chairperson, because of the audit process, our document has to go through internal audit,
and then they will go measure, then say, then take this out. This is why we end up here with this document. That's the process.
Give us that one, which you are giving to somebody else. We do not want any special treatment. Just give us what you normally have. You see, there is a reputation that politicians do not want to read. They just want to sleep in parliament. This committee wants to read and understand things. Give us the benefit of doubt in that regard. Willem, tell us. I wanted to say to you, Chief, you're speaking on behalf of Ingonya when you are here. And there is no one among us here who can drag Ingonya to come here and answer the questions. Not even the president does that. So when you speak on behalf of Ingonya about Amakhosi under his jurisdiction, you have to be very careful what you're saying, because these questions you are raising make the Ingonya questionable, even his own role in what you are doing. Please, Chief, I really wanted to say that under your relaxed environment. Did you? We are agreed. Thank you very much. We're moving on to the next document. We have, yes.
Can I just ask a question around the deeds registry, the report we got? Chair, the presentation we just had. Just quickly about around the strategic objective 3.1. Where we talk about deeds registered in 7 days, or deeds are examined within 7 days of junior officials, that deeds are captured after 10 days and 14 days, and number of hectares to be surveyed in the homeland. How realistic are those objectives compared to current performance?
Talk to our general, that we are home to understand that we are going to find a good politician. See, something else.
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Mr. Tron. These targets have been we have committed ourselves based on some, for instance, the surveying of homeland and surveyed areas. It was an instruction from the High Office to make sure that we survey all unsurveyed state land. We have prioritized those projects. and then in terms of the deeds,
Wait, Chief. You're saying to us you have an instruction. Now the question is, how realistic is that target in relation to that instruction? So if you said to us, look, we get this instruction, we are going to build capacity to be able to meet that, and if under ordinary circumstances that instruction makes it impossible for you to meet that, how realistic is the instruction itself? So tell us, we're not asking you to measure the minister's instruction.
Yes.
We're just saying, are you going to be able to achieve the target?
Yes. In terms of surveying of state land, I think I think I did explain that the processes that we followed to survey the unsurveyed state land, we separate them into blocks, but we have since separated them into smaller admin areas in order to appoint more surveyors instead of appointing just one survey company, you know, to do a whole lot of work. So we have come up with a strategy to subdivide more of these areas in order to, you know, to use more land surveyors. So it is realistic, it's going to be achieved. And in terms of I think it was around the deeds. on the 7 days where we, those are processes that are within our ambit. Where is it? A bioscope is. Okay. Yes, it's examined within 7 days. This is the process that my colleague DDG Mashia has explained. We're measuring efficiency, and this is mostly the processes that we are responsible for. Remember, after these 7 days, those submitted or lodged it, they'll be given to conveyancers to go and do certain work. So these are the processes that we firmly believe that we're in control of, provided that the conveyancers have complied with the law. We reject some of these things because conveyancers are not complying with this Registry Act.
That disclaimer is creating another problem. Because if you took into consideration that part as well, then you will tell us that we will meet this target for sure, but you are now saying, provided they, then is a disclaimer. That into account?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. The negative benefit of doubt is Kegas. Jim, I saw you say you are going to do 2.7 million hectares. Is that the case, that then 2.7 million?
What unserved state land? Yes. No. It's not in Ngonyama. it's not Ngonyama.
Is that a coincidence?
That they own 2.7. And
yes,
your target is 2.7 million.
Yes.
I see. How do you get to that figure, Chief?
Very interesting way of getting into that. We use what we called spatial information in the Surveyor's General Office. Would overlay that into South African map. All what is surveyed. Typical example would be your former Transcar. From a Transcar, you would find a big pocket of land that is not surveyed. And then you would see smaller. Yana. Basically, we superimpose what we have in the Surveyor General Office on top of South African map, and then we would identify those gaps. And then we calculate. The figure 2.7 is an estimated value, but we believe that, you know, the area could be around 5%, you know, below 5%.
DG, most being Humbus or Bush, Ulaloa, similar le operational plan was a spatella, the real one. Le Busas Nam, Lisanji, Mr. She, who did the Shannon, the said the fourth quarter will take it last, Miss Kobodi will follow now on the two pieces. Your court cases and your transfer of state land.
While they are fixing the bioscope, I'll speak from the documents that have been given to the committee. I'm assuming that you all have copies. I will be very brief. I'm going to be brief because the documents that have been submitted to the committee are quite conclusive, but mostly they require one to actually go through the various documents to actually, so that the committee can actually see for themselves exactly where we got our answers from. I'll start with the transfer of land. We've identified the various pockets of land that need to be transferred, and in all the various provinces. I'm not going to go province by province, but we give examples of the projects and identify the CPAs involved there. I'll just go to. So if you look at the attachments that I've been given, they actually give you per province where the areas are and which managerial district, the hectares, and for example, the challenges that have been identified are the fact that sometimes there has to be negotiation between the communities in terms of setting up of the CPAs, disagreements, court orders, that are there as interdicts that delay the process. But in the documents, we have actually shown where each transfer process is. Some of the cases are at the point where they are with the conveyancers and ready for transfer. Some have been delayed because, as I said, of court orders where there are interdicts. And some, they're waiting for the registration of CPAs, and once that has happened, they would then be transferred to the claimants. Notwithstanding that, though, the properties themselves, usually you find that the beneficiaries are already in occupation of the said properties, and there's also no maintenance on the properties except for payment of levies and statutory payments. And the maintenance is done on this land by the lessees themselves. And as already mentioned, the regional offices have deployed action plans to identify what needs to be done per property. So perhaps we can be able to provide more information to the committee if there are gaps that you identify in the report itself. But otherwise, the total number of hectares is about 143,000. I hope I haven't summarized too much. Okay, well, maybe I should go then to the court cases. I'm looking at the time, Chairperson. Chairperson, if we look at the question around matters that are in the Land Claims Court. Currently, with the total that we sit at is 309. But as you would be aware, the number is not static because cases come in and out of the court. And therefore, we keep having to add and remove cases as they progress. And even, I think, in the week we have been served with one or two cases, so that the numbers there might change. And as you can see, the matters that are in court on different reasons. Some are direct referrals or reviews. Some are situations where we actually are being compelled to deal with the actual purchase price. And some of the matters in question are dealt with by the Land Rights Management Facility. And again, the figures that have been described on this document are discussed thoroughly in the attached document, where we actually break down exactly where each case is in terms of the case number, at what stage the case is, and what we intend to do with the case going forward. And I must also add that tomorrow we are meeting with the Judge President of the Land Claims Court for her to assist us with our cases, and so that we keep a tighter hand on the cases that are presented to them in court. And our idea is that we want to create an enabling environment that will allow for us to manage our liability and the commitments, and just to continuously develop and train our legal officials so that we're able to minimize cases going to court unnecessarily, and also just to manage the legal risk. We are also, as I said, going to be discussing with the Judge President of the court there, so that we hopefully are able to create uniform documents as directive from the court that will help facilitate the process. And currently, as I said, we have identified the 309 outstanding claims, and we want to make sure that we deal with those strictly and comply with all the legal prescripts. And as discussed, we've got the Land Rights Management Facility, which has been dealing with 98 of the matters. And we are monitoring that, and you'll see in the documents that was present was attached, there is a report there from them. And there are only 30 out of the 309 identified court matters that potentially can be settled. And we are working at trying to finalize and settle those cases. I hope that is satisfactory, Chair. The problem with the document is that a lot of the questions are answered in the attached document. For example, it gives details by detail in terms of the farm, the hectare, the value, and where the process is for each of those, and which area and which province.
Honourable members, here is the information in front of you. Please forget the operational plan we just finished. It's been called information. Aye, sir.
We have offered to provide the information to the committee, the details on each one of our programs.
Mm-hmm. They're embedded on the pitch. You see, because Ms. Kobodo, like you guys did earlier, if you read through the four pages they have given us in relation to this, it's not making reference to the information there. I ultra summary there. It is claiming in doing a clearly. And there is nothing called a burden of information. Good. We really want to understand what you're doing. Your responsibility is oversight. to me is oversight is one of those things. So it's not your responsibility other than just oversight. Lay oversight is important because in order for us to be able to know whether policy is weak at implementation or the policy itself is flawed is when we have information. Yes, not a lot. And I think how much quite a quarter the baliki against politics is there to see what we want a lot. And again in a transformation. So Mr. Hodge, would you want to let the the commissioner for the Western Cape who came to us on with the Western Cape land claimants on that petition. She would give us a report that really lacks the information, the detail. And then when you ask this, it's in the file, and refer us to read the file. Mr. Warden gets into that tradition immediately. She comes in here and she says, in these four pages, I'm talking about those things that are in the file that are provided. She is good. We are figure, no figure for this. No, you can't. You can't. You can't afford to allow you to get into that situation. Let's pull away. Let's pull in. You could show my stuff, man. Not my stuff. My fault. My part was cooping when we said, so spoon as spoon. Honorable members, here is the report. Yes, the usual suspect. In Namile, he is a lamazu. I saw him. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to get the clarity on the, there's an action plan which indicates that the office is in consultation with the Provincial Shared Service Center to establish an office that is supposed to effect the transfer. Can you unpack that? Then the other one, you know, when looking at the reasons, somewhere you get that there's no information available in the regional office. So then the action is saying further research by an office. How long is that research going to take? Because some of the issues are dated back to 2003. Then under this Limpopo, you said Limpopo, Lydenburg, you mentioned that there's no land claim, it's not applicable. So can you please also clarify that if there's this situation, how do you inform, how do you engage or give feedback to those affected people who are waiting for the response or for the land? Then somewhere you indicated that a new conveyor to be appointed by the end of February, although there's no year, but I think it's 2012. Just to check whether have you been able to appoint that conveyor. You know, when looking at today's document, some deadlines are 31st of May. Have you been able to reach those deadlines? Others are around June and July. Will you be able to meet those deadlines? Then the last one, under the action, I think it's page 10 of 17 on the list, you've said that outsourcing for establishment of a legal entity. Can you also please unpack that so that I understand it correctly? Thank you, Chairperson.
No further question. Mr. Wadu, you can take charge.
Honorable Chair, I think the reference that was made to the outsourcing to set up a legal entity, that is what the milestone is referring to say you want to have somebody to help facilitate that process of the establishment of that legal entity, including the drafting of the constitution of the legal entity and its adoption by the claimant community. That is what it means. That's the reference. The second one, perhaps I needed some assistance from Honorable Gwenyamabila on the consultation with the I can't find it in the two documents. The shared service center. There was a question about the shared service center. Chair, in some of these cases that are being followed up here, the progress that is being reported, one of the things that need to be done is the establishment of legal entities. That is what it was referring to. You may have seen in the previous one as well, where before you transfer the land to the community, because it's sitting in the hands of the state, there must be a legal entity in the case of a community that receives that land so that the deeds office can transfer it to that particular legal entity.
I think it's page 117 under the list. Where is it now? No, it's yes, page 2 of 17. Nkandla, KwaZulu-Natal, Nkandla. Then you have said under the action that the office is in consultation with the provincial shared service center to establish an office that is supposed to effect the transfer. On this list. Nkandla, that is Kroin, Kromel, Ellenburg. I think in two areas, Nkandla, 8K, King Alex, and Thornhill.
All the politicians refuse to read. It's in your document. Have you gone with it? In kind of before, but five, it was there, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, you wanna check. I will have to get back to you, Chair. To no, Chair.
Yes, Chair, it comes from the regions. We will get follow up.
Okay. The column is starting from the last one, from the right.
It means that it's not a matter that should have been dealt with under restitution. It could be, for example, where the department will buy a portion of land on behalf of labor tenants or other, but it's not a situation where a claim was lodged on behalf of claimants. Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, yes, it is the current year. Can I be allowed to get back to you with the progress after the 31st of May? But the targets were set by the region.
The next session is on the 13th of June. You won't see us until the 13th of June. How's that the old day he was born? And on the 13th of June, you have the program. We've given you the program. It says briefing and discussion on the significance and implications of the National Development Plan, which is Vision 2030, and the National Growth Path and EPAP 2 on rural development, land reform, and agriculture, a particular emphasis with implications for policy in rural development and land reform. As full politic too, political. Who can any into? Is there another JJ? Are you have any other matter?
Chair, two matters, but I'm sure we'll hear more about our visits to farms later, tomorrow in that joint meeting. My other matter is, just before the DG goes, is the matter that I wrote to you about, the Spatial Planning Land Use Management Bill, and where it is in the department and whether the department has addressed the constitutional issues. Are we going to meet the deadline? We heard that the NCOP is going out on public hearings next week. It's never served before this committee. What are we going to do about that legislation? Are we going to again pass legislation that won't make constitutional muster and have it re-referred to Parliament?
Yes, thanks, Chair. The bill is in the NCOP. It is a Section 76 bill, and therefore the NCOP is going to be undertaking provincial consultation. Consultations are starting tomorrow in the Eastern Cape, and possibly in the Northern Cape, and Friday in KwaZulu-Natal. We are very much aware that the deadline that was set by the Constitutional Court is the around the corner on the 17th of June. We have approached the court to grant us an extension while Parliament considers the bill. We have not yet heard when are we likely to hear from the Constitutional Court. Being mindful of that, however, we have looked around in the various provinces to try and determine what will be the implications if the Constitutional Court does not grant the extension. We have looked at several provinces. For instance, in the Western Cape, there would be old order legislation, such as ordinances, that would be applied. In Gauteng, similarly, as a result, no development will be stalled. In the Western Cape, in Gauteng, in KwaZulu-Natal, in some parts of Mpumalanga, particularly the old former RSA areas. The areas that will be affected are your northwest, because there is a whole plethora of former homeland legislation there. There will be a real challenge in northwest. There will be a complete gap or vacuum in terms of processing any legislation. There will be some problems in some parts of Mpumalanga. But on the whole, there are provinces that have got new legislation, others that never actually used the DFA to start with, and therefore continued to use pre-1994 ordinances. They will continue to receive and process applications in terms of those ordinances. But we are hoping that we will get the extension, and the consultation is then ongoing with the provinces. We are supporting the committee, the Select Committee on Environmental Affairs, on Environment and Land, that is currently going to be conducting those consultations in the provinces. Yesterday we met with the committee. They were members, several members of provincial legislatures, members of committees responsible for this bill in the provinces, whom we are going to be working with in the consultation processes across the country. That is what we can report, Chair. We are mindful also of the serious implications in terms of the capacity in the department to implement this legislation. And therefore, we are gearing also the department to be able to have the requisite capacity to implement the bill. We are also aware of the challenges municipalities will have because of their lack of capacity. Hence, we have to build ours to provide support to municipalities working together with provinces. Thanks, Chair.
the sixth page from the covering, where
we are referring to it, but the consultation, the rollout in the provinces is not referred to here. Gotcha. Yes, Chair. I did say that the document does not refer to the consultation process. Remember, it's Parliament that must lead the consultation process. We are supporting Parliament. We have introduced the bill at the NCOP. The NCOP is going to lead the consultation process and the processing of the bill into law. So it becomes out of our control once it is in Parliament.
Remember, we're dealing with outstanding matters, lingering doubts in your mind. So, it's incriminating. Kogu. I want to thank you. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to share no more time over the third for Manigule. But thinking I'm certain. The Bonala under AKZM. Ati ingoje nenkandla kuphela kanti ngike ngaripota ngendaba yamafama awanobanga. U-government is involved in that amafama and amanye wawathengile but akunaripoti ebuya kula mafama ukuthi what happened kula those farmers in under women. Zinamagabake nje kwase ngike ngathi ngangonyana kunendawo umsuluze kunendawo ekuqasheni kunendawo emachumeni lezo zindawo no sibaba nangile mawuya ngogonya amathathu yale le kude lapho lapha kunganamagama khona ey'ndawo lezi engikhuluma ngazo zinamagama wazo and mina ngiye ngifuna umuntu uma eza nento angitshele ukuthi from kwanobamba eqasheni emsuluze kuhlekothukela ngizo-understanda kahle ukuthi uma siya ku-oversight ngifuna siye kuphi siyoqala kuphi. So uma uzongitshela ukuthi inumber ethile yenzeka 700 ethile 500 but ayinagama ukuthi kuphi, mina ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi kuphi. So
just to help you, le document uyikota kuyo ine nenkandla. It is ten.
Okay, inengoje nenkandla noma ngingayibhekanga kahle uba it is 10 but angithi sikhuluma
ngamaqathanisa le information sinayo nesingenayo yika kanti siqathanisa ama-apile nama-orange.
No, Chair, ibuye isho ukuthi KwaZulu-Natal amount care angazi ES ibuye iqhubeke ithi 276. Angithi Chair, wonke amapulazi akhishwa ugovernment fanele sibe ne-report yawo. Ugovernment akawathengile, wathengela abantu. Ukuthi wathengile kuphelile ngawo, abantu sebehlala khona na. Actually nje engingabeka i-example ngaleli asecashini, abantu bahlala emzini abanye abantu lapha balinde ukuthi ugovernment akhomplithe ukuthi ya sebengakha lapha.
So I'm funnel teaching, I'm funnel no teaching. I learned that but I'm bang was a good young but who like development committee. Tina Sugani like let me the alabanto sakela picked up because so why show to government just 10 yellow le plus. But as it totally reported as one in those outzoti seeing generally Gabba. She began to have a reporter in a case that then is a whole. Okay.
Money relief, space, no crowd, and